Support for Valley Edition comes from the James Irvine Foundation, Cahuilla Delta Medical Center, and Kaiser Permanente.
This is Valley Edition, FM 89's weekly look at the issues that matter to the residents of the San Joaquin Valley.
Hello, I'm Anita Stevenson, and this is Valley Edition. On our program today, Christmas Tree Lane, a stabbing on a night many families were walking the lane. Will the violence bring an end to the 89-year-old tradition? And is the economic downturn having an effect on the way we celebrate Christmas this year? Plus, a museum that pushes you to use your imagination. We will take you there. But first, on December 13th, a fight broke out on Christmas Tree Lane, and a young man was stabbed. Authorities say right in front of a nativity scene and dozens of families out walking the lane. Just how will the violence impact the future of this 89-year-old tradition? Here to discuss the issue with us is Louise Yonokian, past president, Homeowners Association, and Al Maroney, Captain Al Maroney, District Commander, Northeast Policing District, with the Fresno Police Department and with Operation Christmas Presents. Also, Dean Alexander, Fig Garden Homeowners Association, will also be joining us. Welcome first to all of you, and thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Louise, have you all had the opportunity yet to meet with residents? If not, have you had a chance to get a feel for the way those on the lane are their reaction to this incident?
Actually, every year after the lane closes, we have a logistics meeting. Usually that takes place in March. And at that point, we assess the lane, the lights, the trees, and we speak with law enforcement to see for the upcoming year we plan the dates. So far, that has not occurred because, again, the lane has not completed. We do have a feel of the community, though, and of their support. Everybody is still in favor of continuing an 89-year tradition and moving forward. So logistically, we have not had an opportunity to look at all those issues.
But I'm sure there will be some discussion as far as what you might do or what can you do as residents to try to prevent another incident like this.
Well, again, this event takes place every year, and it is but for the help with CHP, Fresno PD, and the Sheriff's Department. We rely on them 100%. While you don't see them on the lane, they are ever present, and that is, you know, their aspect of it. And again, it's the homeowners basically open our street and our neighborhood to thousands of people every year, and we rely on the law enforcement to help us and assist with the activities on the lane.
Captain Maroney, this is probably not the first violent incident you've had on the lane.
As far as I can remember, this is the first act of violence in my memory that has ever occurred on Christmas Tree Lane.
That's true in 89 years, yes.
Wow. I thought for sure I'd remember. Not as serious, but, you know, maybe a fight or something like that. But this is, well.
This is truly the first event we have had on the lane in its entire history.
In a situation like this, Captain Maroney, when you look at something like this that happened, I understand during the initial investigation, this has been called a gang-related incident.
The actual investigation is being handled by the Fresno Sheriff's Department, from what I understand. My information is that it's being looked at as a gang-related incident, but I'm not sure if that's been confirmed as of yet.
What you have happening on, or what you had happen on Christmas Tree Lane, when you take a look back, especially at this year, isn't it happening in other parts of the city as well?
You know, every year when you have, especially around the holiday times, we anticipate large numbers of people being out and about, carrying cash, carrying credit cards, checkbooks, and we gear up for that with our Operation Christmas Presents. So this is something that we anticipate every year, and unfortunately, you're always going to have individuals out there who are looking to take advantage of the opportunity to commit crimes.
Isn't it kind of hard when you take a look at the gang activity, and we've seen it kind of spread all over the city? How can you control something like that?
The main thing that we try to impress upon citizens is to simply be aware of their surroundings. I don't believe that gangs are out operating as an enterprise to target shoppers, but those individuals are opportunistic just like most criminals are, and all they're doing is taking advantage of a situation. So if you have someone who is not diligent about their surroundings or walking in places where they perhaps wouldn't want to walk in, for example, a dark alley, and this person sees that as an opportunity, they're simply going to seize upon it. We're just encouraging people every year to just be aware of what they're doing and their surroundings and simply to protect themselves.
Isn't part of what we're seeing when you take a look about how the city is changing, what we have here in the Old Fig Garden is you have an historic neighborhood that is now being surrounded by neighborhoods that are not so good neighborhoods as people might want to label them. And how do you, as a neighborhood, how do you try to preserve what you have and try to keep out the crime influences that can surround you?
You know, actually, we were deemed a historic district this year. And the residents that live in Old Fig Garden choose to live south of Shaw Avenue. We take pride in our area. We are surrounded by the city. There is growth all around us. And we take a proactive approach in how to work with the city and county all together. This is actually the first year that we have gotten the city and the county together at the table. We were awarded a Caltrans traffic planning grant to assess the situation with Ashland and other areas. So we are actively working on keeping Old Fig Garden as a historic area. We know there's growth all around us. We now have the support of the city, the county, all the law enforcement. So, again, it's a neighborhood that is simply trying to keep a tradition alive, keep a historic area alive, and it takes the effort of every homeowner. And we move forward and hope that, you know, Fig Garden can be around for another 100 years.
Dean, are you concerned at all about how this might impact the future of what you have?
Well, after the season, we need to evaluate and see any additional precautions we need to take for the walk nights. I think it's a gift to the community, and I think we want to continue doing it. But we need to keep everybody safe, also the residents and also our visitors on the lane.
Also, our listeners out there, if you'd like to call in and give us your thoughts on this incident that happened on Christmas Tree Lane and whether or not you think it might impact it in the future, and what are some of your suggestions as far as what the city might be able to do, because this is a tradition for the entire city, not just Christmas Tree Lane. People from all over come and enjoy this, and they have year after year. You can give us a call at 800-224-8989 or 559-275-8989 or online at kbpr.org. Are you at all concerned, because as you mentioned, this is strictly an event that is donor-based. You get everything from your support from the community, from donations. Are you concerned that this might impact the donations coming in? Or are you hoping people will kind of rally and say, you know what, this is ours and we're not going to turn it over to the bad influences?
Well, one thing is, you know, the incident happened a week ago, and our traffic counts on the lane are not down. They're actually stronger as ever. I mean, it is something that – it's something for the families, and people feel safe. I mean, this is one incident out of 89 years, and I think that everybody does feel safe on the lane. And again, it's just a magical moment. It's something that everybody can celebrate.
Is there anything else law enforcement can do? Like you've said, you have people who – will come into an area when you have huge crowds like that and you're telling people to kind of be watchful. I'm sure, as they've mentioned, that after the lane closes and in January you'll have your meeting and the residents there will probably come up with some, hopefully some good solutions. But will you all be working with them? Will the law enforcement be working with them as well? I know that that's an area where the sheriff's department is pretty much in control, but you have an influence as well.
Absolutely. The Christmas Tree Lane event spills over into the city. So historically, the police department has always worked hand-in-hand with the Fresno County Sheriff's Department to make sure that the event is safe for everyone who comes to attend the event. What we would like to do is just simply to assure people that that was probably a very isolated event. The circumstances that led to it were simply just two people meeting that for whatever reason got into a disagreement. I don't think that that should overshadow what the event really stands for, which is to celebrate the Christmas season and to ensure people that have the ability to come out and bring their kids to see this spectacular event. As a child, I recall going down Christmas Tree Lane, and we've always felt very safe there, and we were very most appreciative, and I wanted to thank the Fig Art Homeowners Association for continuing to put this event on every year.
And you do. It's a place where families come, their children come. They feel free to stroll the lane. You know, do you think it's a situation where you are going to get, and, you know, I asked this before, we talked to Al, are you hoping it's something that the community will rally behind and say, you know what, we're not going to let this happen, and we're not going to let this keep us from celebrating this 89-year-old tradition?
Well, you know, I can mention a few things on that. We have actually been featured in Sunset Magazine. This year I got an email from a woman in Florida who said she grew up in Fresno and as an adult has moved to Florida. She actually wanted to know what the dates are for the 2012 Christmas Tree Lane. She's planning her annual vacation around Christmas Tree Lane and would like to bring her grandchildren. So, you know, again, it's a gift we give to the community. There are magical moments for all of us. And the support has been great. The outpouring of care has been wonderful on this event, and people embrace it, and it's magical for families and children.
I think we have Gail from Clovis. You have a comment?
I do. I think that one negativity shouldn't be such a huge, huge, huge concern because there are negatives everywhere. We can't focus on all the negatives. We need to focus on the positives.
Okay, and thank you. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, this is, as we mentioned, this is something that so many people in this community appreciate and support. And I really think that this is something that is going to cause people to really rally behind Christmas Tree Lane and the residents there so that this can continue.
So far they have. That's what I've seen, and that's what the community, you know, I get emails every day on this issue, and people are rallying around it.
Yeah. And I don't think, and I agree with the caller, I don't think you can let one incident. I'm sure, Al, you probably remember this, and those of us who've been here for a while. I can remember years ago, there was a shooting at Fashion Fair Mall that kind of really changed the way people saw their safety in North Fresno. And there was all this talk about how it was going to keep people away from Fashion Fair Mall. And as we see, that has not been the case. So it does come down to not letting one incident stop you.
That's correct. The incident that you're referring to, Juanita, I believe it was a shooting of a young man named Robert Lukey.
Yes.
And it happened in the parking lot at in Fashion Fair, I believe, in 1991. It was a few years after that that event really was the catalyst for the Operation Christmas Present as we know it today. And the idea was that we recognize that Fresno has three of the valley's largest regional shopping centers, Fashion Fair, River Park, and Manchester. And the last thing we wanted to do was to discourage people or make people feel, allow them to feel discouraged about coming and shopping in our community and fearing for their safety. And kind of playing that forward now with the incident in Christmas Tree Lane, the same thing has to take effect. We don't want people to be afraid to come out to Christmas Tree Lane because of one isolated incident. And we want people to know that Fresno is one of the safest areas to shop in the state of California. We multiply our forces during Operation Christmas Presents with the help of citizens on patrol, our reserve officers, and our regular police officers in addition to undercover officers. So I'm sure that whatever the folks that run Christmas Tree Lane come up with, it will simply be there to ensure the longevity of their event.
And that is one of the things with Christmas Tree Presents. The whole idea of that, how do you think you can apply that to Christmas Tree Lane?
Well,
Christmas Presents, I think. You did a better job of remembering, you had the name and everything from that incident back in 1991.
The police department's operation is very similar to what you see on Christmas Tree Lane. However, ours is staffed by, as I mentioned earlier, sworn personnel and citizens and so forth. The operation on Christmas Tree Lane is very similar, but the only thing that I think that needs to be done is for the operation to continue with the understanding that when you have large crowds of people that gather, you're subject to have some unfortunate incidents. The neighbors that are out there on Christmas Tree Lane, the sheriff's department personnel that are out there, in addition to the police department folks being out there, would be one of the greatest deterrents to making sure that people feel safe when they're out there. And that's what we really want. We want them to maintain the atmosphere and the attitude of safety by simply being aware of their surroundings and not being afraid to report incidents of crime when they see them.
What are some of the things you've had Captain Maroney mention that, but from you two, people who live on the lane, what are some of the things that you think the residents can do?
Well, one of the things that we've gotten into place this year actually is a very, very active neighborhood watch program. We are now, we've got several, actually almost 34, I believe, block captains in place. And I wanted to state that just because you don't maybe necessarily see a presence of law enforcement on the lane, trust me, they are there. And we don't give out all the specifics, but the Sheriff's Department, CHP, and PD, we have a very, very active presence on the lane. Most people are just not aware that they're there. So between our Neighborhood Watch program and the neighbors getting involved, and again, the law enforcement that we have on the lane, we let law enforcement do their job.
And go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, it's just to let you know, it's heavily manned during those walk nights. I mean, you used to be surprised. They've got the SWAT team out. They've got the sheriff command center out there. I mean, it's a major event, and it is heavily manned by our law enforcement.
Well, I think what everybody's saying, and that's what you see here, it does seem like it was an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing throughout the city, and it's not just Christmas Tree Lane, we do see certain crimes now invading other people's neighborhoods just about almost anywhere, and that residents really do have to be vigilant. I think that a lot of times, because I can talk to people and they'll say, well, I live in a safe neighborhood. I don't have to worry. And I will tell them, you know what, there is no such thing as a safe neighborhood. You really do have to treat your neighborhood like it's because things have changed. And people have to be vigilant and they have to watch out. I've seen it in my neighborhood. I've seen it in other neighborhoods, especially this year. And if we take a look at the article that was in this morning's Bee talking about burglaries being up. I mean, we've seen that hit all over the city, and that's happening for a number of reasons. A part of it, people are saying that if criminals don't think they're going to face a consequence, then they become more brazen. And I don't know, Captain Maroney, can you speak to that? Do you think part of that is – do you think some of that is happening?
You know, that attitude has to come into the equation, because if I knew I could walk behind the counter at any bank and grab a handful and run, I'd be tempted myself. But there are people out there who will take advantage of the situation that we're looking at right now. Some of it has to do quite naturally with the jail's inability to hold people.
Some of it has to do with our society as a whole right now, and some folks are becoming more emboldened to want to take things that don't belong to them, so to speak. So there is no one singular point of blame that I can identify. I think this is just a symptom of what we're seeing in today's economic times.
And also with Old Fig Garden, we do have a police protection district that's in place.
Yes, you do.
365 days a year. So, you know, as far as being a safe neighborhood, we truly are one of the safest in, if not the safest, in Fresno. We have that presence. The police protection district homeowners pay for that protection, and that's very much in force as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the lane this year. How have the crowds been? How have people responding? I know, Dean, your house is one that everybody looks forward to stopping at. So just how has it been this year?
The crowds have been great. I mean, during the walk nights, I think we had record crowds. Also during the car nights. I mean, you know, I feel sorry for people that are backed up on Shields Avenue. They get to wait an hour, to hour and a half to get on a lane during Friday and Saturday night. I mean, and they wait. I mean, it's something that, again, it's a very something special for Fresno. No other community has something like this. I mean, we have almost 2 miles of lights on a lane and nowhere in the country.
And really, people do this for the community. I mean, a lot of us, when you think about, you know, decorating at Christmas time, you know, some of us are like, oh, my God, oh, I've got to do that again. But this is something for the people on the lane that they look forward to, and they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the entire community to enjoy.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's something that surprisingly, and it's almost like, can you? You know, I obviously do a grand display, but you look at the other people in the lane, and they're rivaling. They are, you know, beating the test to be able to be able to make a great displays. So this year, we had five gigantic displays that were donated by Southern California Edison, which is a fire truck, a train, a Jack in the Box, and some elves. I mean, they're fantastic. And also we got a display from the Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control – excuse me, Fresno Metropolitan Museum. When they close, we have two penguins. And so we're trying to add to the display in addition to the high school displays every year that they create, which are magnificent. And so it's something that – it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and the fact that you're able to grow, that you're not just satisfied with the way it is. But every year you try to give people something new to look forward to.
Yeah, we really do. And also the neighbors that live on Van Ness, you know, they open their street and their driveways basically to all of these the people that come down the lane. And it's really quite a magical thing that happens, and we love it.
Okay. I kind of want to wrap this up, and would like for all of you to kind of tell me your thoughts, like, as you move forward this year after this incident. I think at least I was surprised and that this was really the first in 89 years, the first such incident. So I think it says a lot about what you've been able to maintain, and I think it says a lot about what law enforcement has been able to do, and the fact that people who live on the lane feel comfortable opening up their neighborhood to the entire community, and they don't try to keep anybody out.
I can just say that being born and raised in Fresno, it was a magical experience for me as a child, and I hope that in the years and future to come that children, grandchildren, and so forth can enjoy this just as I did as a child.
Yeah, I mean, we're 89 years. I mean, from 1920 to present, I mean, it's phenomenal. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being the captain in the actually the 100-year anniversary, which would be fantastic. So, yes, I'm definitely looking forward to continuing on at Christmas Tree Lane.
You know, Juanita, I think we all need to applaud the Fig Garden Homeowners Association. They have really achieved a remarkable record for safety out there and putting on such a large event that attracts thousands and thousands of children each and every year. And the only thing that I would really, really want to say is to the public is that they have to understand that when you get large crowds of people, stuff happens. And unfortunately, when you have folks that are at an event like this that for whatever reason decide to go outside the bounds of what we normally expect as far as behavior, bad things can happen. But with that said, I'm looking forward to going back to Christmas Tree Lane myself and taking my two kids. I hope the tradition continues for another 89 years, and the Fresno Police Department, as well as the Fresno Sheriff's Department and the California Highway Patrol, will always be there to support them.
Thank you.
And so we're looking forward. You all are going to have your meeting in January, and we'll be looking forward to see what kind of steps come from that. I think many people think you're already doing a great job, and as you mentioned, this is something that could happen anywhere. So I'd like to thank all of you for coming in again. We have Dean Alexander, Fig Garden Homeowners Association, Louise Yanovkian, she's past president of Fig Garden Homeowners Association, and Captain Al Maroney, District Commander with the Northeast, with the Fresno Police Department and with the Northeast Policing District. Thank you all for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And let the tradition continue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Juanita Stevenson, and you are listening to Valley Edition. We'll be right back.
Support for Valley Edition comes from Chevron and Avicennia Wellness Center, online at avecinia.com.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of Valley Edition. I'm Juanita Stevenson, and you're listening to Valley Edition. Welcome back. Fresno County's unemployment rate is at 15.7%. Bakersfield unemployment rate is a little bit better at 13.4%. There are a lot of people out of work, underemployed, or working at temporary jobs. Is that impacting the way we celebrate Christmas this year? We didn't do any kind of scientific survey, but we did talk to a longtime business here in Fresno. A businessman who told us when the economy took a nosedive in 2008, he saw one of his worst years in business. Well, this year, it is a whole different story.
Douglas or Noble Fir? What do you guys prefer? Douglas?
I'm Sidney Baludian of Sid's Christmas Trees, and I've been in business for 33 years at Willow and Kings Canyon.
What's it been like this year?
It's been a very different year. It's been since I've opened November 18th, it was just fast and furious. People were just ready to buy a Christmas tree and get into the holiday spirit this year more than ever. I could just see it in their faces. They were just wanting to get started and with the holiday season of Christmas and just have a good time. Just get together with the family and just have a real good time this year.
What's business been like?
It's been, I'm way up. I'm about 40% up from last year, which that's a big number. Since the year of 08, my lot has never been really back on track. Prior to that, we've done real well here on this corner. But 08 on till this year, it's been a struggle. It's just, we've had to cut way back on trees and labor and everything because we just don't have the traffic. And I've always been conservative since that year. I've always cut way back. And my lot has basically just done what the numbers I did in 08. But this year, it just was a huge jump. I mean, all the trees that I normally sell for the, I get four loads of trees for, since 08, and they were gone within the second weekend of December. So I knew I had to scramble to get more trees.
That is so pretty. I like that tree. I like it. I like it. You could smell the pine. We're shopping for a Christmas tree. It's a last-minute shopping, like I said. My two small granddaughters live, like, across the street from me, so they've been waiting for me to go buy a tree so they could come and decorate the tree.
How do you think people are looking forward to maybe celebrating Christmas this year, maybe as compared to years past?
I think it's still family, friends, the get-together, the dinner, buying gifts for family that can't afford it. It's probably not like it used to be years ago where you'd be able to buy your kids a $50 gift. So now it's more, less, and let's see who needs a tree, see who we could send a dinner for our neighbor, the person across the street, or the lady that lost her husband. More people wanting to help other people, yes, exactly, especially the children.
I think they're trying to decorate more and just trying to get in the general Christmas spirit than the whole gift-giving situation because of the economy right now. And so I think just having the feel of Christmas around you feels really good, and you don't really have to worry. If you can get something for somebody, that's always good. But if you can just get the whole Christmas feeling with your family and your friends, then that kind of satisfies a lot of people right now.
Well, a lot of people are unemployed. I see people that are unemployed that are out here, and they're cutting back on gifts, but they want the tree. The gifts are not a big deal this year. Some of them aren't even buying gifts. Some of them are saying, I just want the tree in my house. I like the fragrance of the tree. It makes me feel good. It's just hope. Maybe things will get better. Maybe this is a new start for them. It's different, and I love it. I love to see how excited they are when they get their tree, and they talk about they're going to have just family over, maybe a big dinner. Not as materialistic this year, more into just getting the family together and having a good time. Hey, thanks for buying a tree for me, and have a merry, merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
And for some, that kind of sums up Christmas this year. Joining to further discuss this issue with us and what we're seeing this Christmas season is Carol Lester, Executive Director, Business Organization of Old Town Clovis, and Joanne Sorrenti, owner of Sierra Nut House. Now, with both of you, we're talking about sort of specialty shopping in Old Town Clovis. You have a lot of shops there, and people are going to come for a certain thing. Same is with Sierra Nut House. Let's kind of survey you. What are you all seeing this Christmas season? Let's start.
In Old Town, last year and this year are up, and our merchants are really thrilled with seeing people come down to Old Town. We remind them all the time through our advertising that it's important to shop local. And we're very proud of the fact that we have no chain stores in Old Town. The merchants are single business owners or family-run businesses, restaurants, and they're seeing an upturn in holiday shopping again this year. Over and above last year, we were up about 25%. We're thinking we're about 30% up now.
Wow. And you, Joanne?
Well, I'm really grateful for our customers. I see the same people that come back year after year, feel like they're your friends now. But our business has grown consistently from January until now, not huge amounts. I mean, it's different every month. It's some months are bigger growth spurts than others. December is good. November, not as good as December. But we see people giving food gifts as practical items. I mean, these are consumable items that every family can use. We do see a trend to a lower price point, which we try to accommodate as much as we can. Costs of our products, you know, if you look at agricultural products everywhere, are higher. They're just the farmers are getting more money, which is a good thing. And we manufacture everything. In other words, we roast everything. We make our own candy. We do all of this that's really time-consuming and creates a lot of labor. So we do hire a lot of people for the holidays.
So are you seeing something different, though, in what people are shopping for? As you mentioned, people are looking. People are out shopping because
yes.
I just have this theory that, you know, people, it's been tough for a lot of people. And they haven't been able to give the way they want to. And they really want to give. They may not be able to buy that big toy or that big gift, but they want to buy something and share with their friends and relatives and neighbors.
That's absolutely true. And I think one of the things that works for most people is to give gifts that are food-related gifts. So businesses come in for big baskets of things that can be consumed at another business that maybe they're saying, we appreciate your business. So that business is what dropped off considerably in 2008, and it's now coming back. The businesses that are doing well are saying, thank you for supporting me, or thank you for referring customers, and they're giving gifts of food, which is, you know, enjoyed by everybody on their staff.
And I think something I heard on the little preview is about the Christmas feel, or the feeling of Christmas. People want to have an experience, and they want to be in the Christmas spirit. So going to a small town like Old Town and taking advantage of the complimentary free carriage rides, there's the patch that has the ice rink you can skate at. There's music going on. There's just a general happy, merry feeling in our little small town. And the merchants are friendly, and everybody says hi. They're helpful. They'll help you find something in their stores. And the stores have things that other places don't have.
Yeah.
So it's really a kind of an atmosphere that people are seeking to get a feeling for certain things. And we have things going on like the George Bailey Supper, which is a wonderful thing at the Victoria Rose Restaurant, which is theater during dinner. And you can't find that everywhere. So,
but I think you kind of hit on it. And part of the reason we sort of did this piece, like I said, we had no scientific evidence. It's just what we all had observed. And I think if you've been out to any of, like, the home goods or craft stores, I mean, they have just been so busy, and their shelves are kind of empty now because it was this whole feeling of people wanting to decorate. They, as you mentioned, they wanted that whole atmosphere of Christmas.
Right.
And that doesn't always has to do with buying something.
That's right. That's right. I was telling Joanne before we came on is that we were in San Francisco this last weekend, and I have never seen so many people shopping and out and about and doing things. It was just amazing, just amazing.
Yeah, we see that at our store. We're packed with people, and we wait on them as fast as we can and with as much smiles and Merry Christmases as we can. And we're just so happy that they're out there shopping. But it's also it's a nice atmosphere. I don't think I always worry that they wait in line, but they always go, oh, no, it's no problem. We're fine. And Saturday it was really crammed in there. And all of a sudden there's a little bistro and people were having coffee and breakfast. And there's a group of Italians that get together to speak, to practice their language and just to meet one another. And they started singing Christmas songs in Italian, and the customers, it was just adorable. I mean, it was fun. It made the whole place kind of calm down, It just calmed everything.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And that's what you see. And for our listeners out there, I'd like to know how you're celebrating Christmas this year. Are you going to stay closer to home, or is it something where you want to celebrate family and friends? Or do you kind of agree with what we're seeing out there? If so, give us a call at 800-224-8989 or 559-275-8989 or online at kvpr.org. And, and part of this kind of comes from, if you think about it, this has been a tough year for a lot of people. It's been a negative year, from what we see kind of coming from Congress. And I think people just want to feel good. And this is something they can control, is how they celebrate Christmas and how they choose to spend their time. And so they're looking for that. They're looking for that Christmas feel and Christmas kind of celebration. That's what people are kind of looking for.
That's right. I think so. And in Old Town, we have a lot of antique stores, as you know. And it's really nice to see that people are taking advantage of the recycle, repurpose program and getting out there and buying things from an antique store rather than buying something new. And since we have 10 antique stores in Old Town, there's a lot of choice to go around and put that our recycling package into operation.
Have your customers at all, you all interact a lot with customers and you with business people. What are they kind of telling you when it comes to this Christmas?
I think they all feel like they want a celebration. And for me, because I'm in the food business and we handle, every kind of gourmet food, and we do cheeses and all wines, a lot of wine. And most of them want a nice celebration. And mostly a holiday celebration does center around food. And so we're fortunate that way that they consider us of a good quality, and that's what they want to have. They want to have the experience with their family, and they want to share with families that are out of town or out of state. So they're sending that.
So that's what I was going to ask. Are you seeing a lot of shipping?
Of shipping. And this year it's very interesting. We've completely doubled our website business. And so you know, and we have an 800 number, so we have a team of people that just answer phones. And one of the gals said, how do these people – I ask them, how do you know about this place? And they said, oh, we got a gift package and everything was so delicious and we want to send it to our friends. So I think sending food to family and friends is really a warm thing to do. It's a holiday kind of a thing.
What are you hearing from the business owners?
There, people are coming in and they're happy to be there. They're they always compliment our store owners as being friendly. Everybody knows your name, that type of thing. And it's really and they find unique gifts. They don't have to go and fight the crowds. There's not long lines in the, you know, in the checkout line. There is, you know, there's like a cash register and, you know, people milling around, so you're not staying in a long line waiting to pay for your merchandise. Everybody, all the stores do their own gift wrapping, so things can be gift wrapped. And it's just a friendly, family-oriented sort of environment, and people just love it.
You know, I have to say, because I have been to a couple of places where there were huge crowds, and the people were taking it all in stride. And, you know, they sort of understood, okay, I'm going to come here. I'm going to have to wait in line. Yeah. And so they're sort of taking it all in stride. And I think that's coming from the fact that people, as you said, they want that spirit, and they don't really want anything to ruin it.
It's wonderful. In our store, they're happy that we have lines. You know, they're like they're our customers.
Doing well.
Yeah, you're
yes.
doing well. You have lines of people. I'm so happy you're busy.
Yeah, because everybody knows, or we've read about not only being, you know, tough on the consumer, but it's been tough for businesses as well. So the feeling that if you're doing well, that's going to be better for all of us.
And they ask that all the time. Is it better? And we tell them it is. It's definitely better.
You're
this
kind
year.
Of the barometer. So.
Yeah, they want to know. Is this
that
it, better?
That if you're doing better, that means hopefully that the economy is getting better. And there's one other thing, too, that I kind of want to ask. Do you think people, after going through, and we're still going through tough times, but you know, as Sid said from Sid's Christmas Tree, you know, everybody can remember 2008. And when I talked to him, he said, you know, that was his worst year almost ever. He said he thought people would still come and buy Christmas trees, but he said it just did not happen. And they had to throw away a lot of them. So do you think after going through some initially very tough times, do you think people are learning that they can make do with less and be happy with that?
I'm sure they do, because we all – I think it's a time to kind of reassess how you're going to spend your money, what you're going to spend your money. And I think you look for the experience opposed to buying big blockbuster gifts and things. And I think what people really don't like is that feeling of being overwhelmed. When you walk into a store and you just feel like, oh my gosh, I have to buy something. I haven't finished my list yet. I haven't finished my shopping. I don't know what to buy, people. That just wrecks the entire Christmas season, I think. So I think people are looking for something different. And I think they've cut back a lot on just buying stuff instead of having a fun experience.
I think so, too. I think people are you know, more concerned about it, the whole Christmas feeling, and not so much about things. I think that's really important.
Well, both of you, as we go into this last weekend before Christmas, kind of tell us what people can expect if they're in your neighborhood or in your store.
In my store, they can expect to have friendly service from clerks that they can recognize from years past. We have a family of employees that have been with us for years and years, and they know your name. So I think they can expect to have great service and a friendly voice.
Are you expecting to be really busy this last weekend?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old Town Clovis's last Saturday with the carriage rides will be Christmas Eve. So Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4, you can take a free carriage ride around town. There's some children's rides and the ice skating rink over at the old DMV parking lot, so you can, you know, get away from the maddening crowd and go have some fun and listen to Christmas music, have the kids ride on the Ferris wheel and the carousel, and just walk Old Town, you know, check out the restaurants. If you need some last-minute gifts, there's some great stores, and it's very nice to come to a place where things are unusual.
Okay. Thank you both for coming in today. Joanne Sorrenti, the owner of the Sierra Nut House, and Virginia Strausser, Carol Lester, Executive Director of Business Organization of Old Town Clovis. Thank you both for coming
in. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I'm Juanita Stevenson, and you're listening to Valley Edition. You're listening to a rebroadcast of Valley Edition. Welcome back. I'm Juanita Stevenson, and you're listening to Valley Edition. Well, the kids are out of school. If not, they soon will be. And if you're looking for something fun for them to do, now might be a good time to explore the Imagine You Museum in Visalia. Here to tell us more about the museum is Director Virginia Strausser. Virginia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Juanita.
First of all, tell us just a little bit about this museum, because it's more of a hands-on kind of exploration.
Yes, it is. It's hands-on, interactive. It's a family experience, so it's lots of fun for the whole family. It was founded in 2002 by our founder, Angela Huerta Reyna, who thought that Visalia and the surrounding areas should have a place for families to come and learn and explore.
Now I understand your mission, you say, is really to inspire children through interactive and educational experiences.
Right, by providing multicultural hands-on learning through the sciences, environmental conservation, and the arts.
Now this was founded in 2002?
Yes, it was.
And have you grown since then or been able to add more exhibits, or are you...
Definitely. We actually started with a box of blocks, so we've come a long way. We have, just so many exhibits now that are so much fun, and it's just a great way to learn while playing.
Now, some of your exhibits, a couple of them that are really interesting, you have like the Imagine You Medical Center and Dental
Center.
Yes, we do.
We have a doctor's office with real stethoscopes and doctor's coats, exam table, x-ray display, so the kids just have a ball. You know, and it also helps them become comfortable with the doctor's office experience. And we have that same thing with our dentist office. You know, they can be the dentist, they can be the patient, mom or dad can be the patient. It just brings a little bit of a comfort level, and it also gives them the opportunity to realize that if they want to be a doctor or a dentist someday, they can do that.
Exactly. That was one of the other things I was thinking about, that it really is, it's not just for them to have a hands-on exploration, it's kind of opening their minds to what else is out there and things that they could possibly do as they grow and continue their educations.
Right, and that's the things that we emphasize when they come here for school field trips also. You know, we let them know that, you know, all things are possible. Whatever it is that they find interesting in life, whatever it is that they would like to pursue as a career, it's possible. You know, they just have to stay in school, work hard, and, you know, there's grants and scholarships available, so anything's possible. And we like to light that little, you know, light in their brain and get them thinking about, you know, what their possibilities really are in life.
Now, could you tell us a little bit more about what went into the museum when it was developed and founded back in 2002?
And back in 2002, it just started with a few minor exhibits, like I said, blocks. And then, you know, we added art stations. And over the years, we've added a multicultural grocery store. We have a puppet theater, giant kaleidoscope. We actually have a little Toddletown area, which is, you know, geared toward the younger set. We have a castle theater with all kinds of costumes to dress up in, so the kids can use their imaginations with the costumes and our musical instruments.
Now, what were some of the, do you know, as far as the founder? I can understand, you know, coming up with this as a way to kind of engage students, but kind of why did she want to do that? Did she see that there was a need for something like that in
Visalia?
She thought
there was a need for a place for families to go, you know, because we're not just about school field trips. We're a family museum. And she felt that there was a need in our area for a place for families to go and explore and learn together.
And tell me a little bit, one of the exhibits that I thought was really interesting was the a multilingual market, because it's not, you know, the students are also being taught about healthy foods as well.
Yes,
because of the obesity problem we have mm-hmm. here in the Central Valley. So if you could tell me a little bit more about the market.
Sure. Yeah, we represent all the food groups in the market. We have a little grocery cart so the kids can go around, make healthy choices. That's encouraged. We have grocery lists in Spanish, English, German, and French. So, you know, they can go shopping in the different languages, and they really like to do that. It's fun for them, you know, to learn what different foods are called in different languages. And then they can go and ring up their purchases. We have a little cash register in there. So it's, you know, we have the food pyramid up, and we talk about, you know, what wise food choices are. And so they, you know, they learn about healthy eating and taking care of themselves and how important that is.
Now, how have you been able to keep going? Is it to private donations, grants, or is that the kind of thing that kind of helps you sustain yourself?
Yes, we do apply for grants and look for donations. We try to keep our admission price down as low as possible so that, you know, everyone can afford to come here. So that does mean that we're constantly looking for grants and donations.
Tell us a little bit about what you're providing and offering over. Now, are you going to be open over the Christmas holiday?
Yes,
will families be able to come?
Special hours during the holiday. Starting this week, we'll be open Monday through Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturday from 12 to 4. And also next week, the same hours. And then the following week, which is the last week of the traditional school break, we're actually having a family camp where we have art in the morning with local artists, and then science and nature in the afternoons.
Now, you said you also try to keep costs down for families wanting to come. What can they expect?
Admission here is $5 for adults and children 3 and over. 2 and under are admitted free. We also have a free story time on Fridays at 10 o'clock, except the weeks that we're doing the camps. But from 10 to 11 every Friday, admission to the museum is free, and that gives families who can't afford even the $5 fee to come in and experience the museum and see what it is that we have to offer after listening to a story from one of our special readers.
Now, is there a website for people to go to if they want to get more information?
Yes. Our web address is imagine-museum.org.
Okay. And anything special for Christmas? I know you're going to be open, but do you have any kind of Christmas displays or interaction, or are you just...
Yes, we do have some Christmas displays, and then we also have Christmas-related activities.
Okay.
And we try to gear them towards, you know, the Santa Christmas and also the traditional Christmas.
Okay.
So, we give our visitors the choice between the two.
Okay, Virginia, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It sounds like it's a great place to take the kids over the Christmas vacation.
It is. It's a great place, and we have a great future in mind, too. We have a $5.4 million grant that we received from the state of California to build a new 13,000 square foot facility.
Wow,
and
that's
great. And
we're
really excited about that, too.
Wow. When do you think you might do your plans? I know you're probably just in the planning stages, but getting that grant is going to be great
for you. That will build the building and give us some exhibits. And so we need to keep working on sponsorships, grants, and donations for the programming and operations needs. We hope to break ground in about next year, we're hoping, and we hope to be complete by 2014.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Virginia Strausser with the Imagine You Museum in Visalia. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Juanita.
Well, that is all for today's Valley Edition. You can hear audio archives and subscribe to our podcast online at kbpr.org. We welcome your comments and suggestions. You can email us at talk@kbpr.org. For audio engineer Marv Allen, producer Tracy Sharman, production and operations manager Don Weaver, and executive producer Joe Moore, I'm Juanita Stevenson. And this is Valley Edition on Valley Public Radio.
Support for Valley Edition comes from the James Irvine Foundation, Cahuilla Delta Medical Center, and Kaiser Permanente.